Friends, this morning we have the opportunity to hear from guest preacher Dustin Height, who is joining us. Some of y'all may recognize Dustin when he comes up here as a missional resident at Community First. Dustin was a pastor at Imago Dei Church in Peoria, which I believe is in Illinois. I always get that wrong. They made fun of me at the Bible study this week because I didn't know. Thought it was like Australia or something. I think there's a similar. Anyway. In Peoria, he was a pastor there, and then in 2020, he and his family kind of answered a call that had been placed on their hearts by God to uproot their lives and move their whole family to Community First Village. And he and his wife, Christina, and their two daughters, Kaylin and Kristen, live in a tiny home. How many square feet? 400 square feet. Yeah, in serving in direct kind of pastoral ministry and chaplain ministry and relational ministry with folks at Community First who've experienced chronic homelessness. So a lot of y'all may know him. Dustin's a great guy. We're super excited to hear from him. And I invite you to join me in prayer as we welcome Dustin up this morning. So gracious God, we just thank you for this church as always, for the space and this time to worship and gather. And we thank you for your servant Dustin and the faithfulness that he has shown in following your call, even when it sent him to places that are strange and perhaps overwhelming. So we're grateful to have him here this morning. We pray that you may speak through him and that your spirit may move in this place, that we may receive the word that you've put on his heart this morning. So thank you for Dustin and his word and for this church and the opportunity that we have this morning, God, to hear from another voice and to grow deeper in love and relationship with you and with each other. We pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Cool. So y'all go ahead and welcome Dustin.
Thank you, Tyler.
Yeah, man. It's good to have you.
Well, it's a delight to be here today. The main reason I'm here is because the UMC conference passed a new resolution recently. There's a minimum one bald guy on stage every Sunday morning. So I'm here to fill in. Well, let me read our passage today. It's from Luke 24, verses 13 to 35. It's a long passage. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it's the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb. This took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all of the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them all assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I'd like to start with a written prayer, actually, that connects this story in Luke, specifically in the hopelessness of Cleopas and his companion on the road. I can imagine myself in their shoes, feeling so disillusioned and isolated, just grieving the loss of everything they had pictured Jesus was going to be for them and for their community, and just so confused that it had happened in the way that it did and didn't need to. And I love that Jesus steps right into their pain, meeting them where they were. They were at a fork in the road and could not see the fullness of what God had in store. Their pain and loneliness was real, but it was not the end of the story. So this is a prayer by Ted Loader called Help Me to Believe in Beginnings. God of history and of my heart, so much has happened to me during these whirlwind days. I've known death and birth. I've been brave and scared. I've hurt. I've helped. I've been honest. I've lied. I've destroyed. I've created. I've been with people, and I've been lonely. I've been loyal, and I've betrayed. I've decided. I've waffled. I've laughed, and I've cried. You know my frail heart and my frayed history. And now another day begin. I may make peace and to begin loving that I may realize joy. Help me to be a beginning to others, to be a singer to the songless, a storyteller to the aimless, a befriender of the friendless, to become a beginning of hope for the despairing, of assurance for the doubting, of reconciliation for the divided, to become a beginning of freedom for the oppressed, of comfort for the sorrowing, of friendship for the forgotten, to become a beginning of beauty for the forlorn, of sweetness for the soured, of gentleness for the angry, of wholeness for the broken, of peace for the frightened and violent of the earth. Help me to believe in beginnings, to make a beginning, to be a beginning, so that I may not just grow old, but grow new each day of this wild, amazing life you call me to live with the passion of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's Ted Loader for you. Sometimes we believe in new beginnings, opening ourselves up to new ideas or perspectives. Sometimes we make new beginnings, taking action in some way, whether it's big or small. And sometimes we become a new beginning, coming alongside someone else's story in a significant way that's embodied. I believe that Jesus is a God of fresh starts and new beginnings, and following him often means going to the margins of society where too many of God's children are suffering alone. One morning, about 10 years ago, I read this exact prayer by Ted Loader. Speaking as my own heart's desire, even if it's just aspirational. And as I prayed it to God, I came to the section that said, help me to be a beginning to others, to be a befriender of the friendless. Immediately, I felt my heart jump, as if God's Spirit was highlighting this phrase for me that felt like an invitation, a moment when my openness to live out this prayer in a real way coincided with something someone was asking me to do. So immediately, I knew the person in my life who needed a friend. This person is hard to spend time with because he suffers from severe mental illness, which has led to a lot of hardship and loneliness in his life. Mark, my friend, easily fell into the category of friendless at the time. So I started taking steps forward in our relationship. This meant carving out time in my schedule to see him. It meant allocating some money in our budget to buy lunch when Mark was running short that week. It meant more than just answering his calls, but now having times when I would initiate a call or get together. More than merely saying yes to this friendship, it also meant saying no to some other things so that I had the needed margin to be able to answer this invitation from God. I helped him get a cell phone, get an apartment, apply for jobs, and served as both his only reference and his only emergency contact on those job applications, which really shocked me. Mark was staying at a homeless shelter when I met him in 2014, and somehow he still had the presence of mind that day to talk to me about philosophy, his Greek background, and his brief stint in seminary. This choice I made to deepen my relationship with my friend Mark led me down a path I never would have expected. You see, I still talk to Mark weekly. I manage his money, I pay his bills, and I intervene when he has some sort of conflict or challenge that's going on.
We've had him over for our house to house for many celebrations and holidays, including Christmas morning. But that's only half the story. Mark also chose to be my friend first. He shared vulnerably about his childhood struggles, about his success in college, his struggle to find work, his dreams for the future, which made me feel safe enough to share openly with him as well. He is constantly offering me gifts, even though I know he runs short on money and barely scrapes by. He calls me 15 times a day, which is way too much, and I tell him that repeatedly, but he can't help it because he has OCD. At one point years ago, after pouring a good amount of time and energy into my friendship with Mark, I came to see that Mark somehow became one of my best friends, unexpectedly, and also realizing that he was putting in more to our relationship than I was. So now he is our Uncle Mark. He's still up in Illinois, and we love him dearly, and he'll be a part of our family forever. God used Mark to teach me about so many things, but at the top of the list is the joy of widening our circle of family. In case you're unfamiliar with that phrase, it comes from a quote from Mother Teresa, who said, "The problem with the world is that we draw the circle of family too small." She, of course, stole this from Jesus, who was always modeling this and challenging the disciples to broaden the definition of who is us, who belongs to our family. I look back on my own journey, and I marvel at how we got to this point where our family lives at Community First Village. My wife and I started this ministry called A Faithful Presence, and Mark was a huge part of that journey of transformation, undoubtedly. The other main influence are my girls, my two girls, who will be at the next service. They came to us through foster care, which meant that these two precious girls were complete strangers to us one day, and the very next day called me dad. Parenting is one of the greatest sources of hardship in my life. You thought I was going to say joy, didn't you? Well, you'd also be true in thinking that, because they're also a huge source of joy. And if we could do it all over again, we would do it over again every single time. Which got me thinking, isn't it funny that as we grow closer to people, that relationship is always a mixture of pain and love, of joy and struggle? Maybe God knows that's what we need. It's a whole package. We cause each other great pain, and we help carry and comfort each other through life's biggest challenges. Just like we read about Cleopas and his companion, they were sharing in each other's burdens. And the disciples back in Jerusalem were still all assembled together, helping each other process and endure the loss and the disappointment that they were facing. We all need somebody to lean on. And I'm not saying everyone needs to become a foster parent or befriend an unhoused neighbor or live at Community First Village. But if you feel drawn to take a big step toward changing your life, I can tell you it is worth it. There are already people in your orbit and in this church that are silently suffering and could use a friend. If you only take a moment to look for those who are carrying their burdens alone, you won't have to look very far. And you'll not only transform someone else's life, but you too will be changed for the better. If we truly believed that we are all God's children, part of the same family, and treated each other based on that reality, we would change the world. We would heal all sorts of societal ills, and we would experience healing and belonging for ourselves as well. As 1 Corinthians 12:26 reminds us, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. I have found that to be true, And so today's invitation in this resurrection season of Eastertide is to become a people of new beginnings, new relationships, and deepening ones, where your circle of family becomes a little wider and we all experience a little more joy, healing, comfort, and belonging. Jesus is already there, walking alongside those carrying heavy burdens. Let's join him on this wild, amazing journey we are called to live together. Let us pray. God, thank you for today. Thank you that we can set our hope in you. Thank you for your faithfulness, your faithfulness in love, your faithfulness in all the moments of our greatest joy and our greatest suffering. May we follow you and be your disciples in this wild, amazing journey of widening our circle of family. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.